The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, getting Jacob Westendorf, who covers the Packers for SI.com, on the air is it, I have to make sure I hit the right button on the actual board here. So let's see how this goes. I'm going to hit this button and say, Jacob, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. And nice. Since we're counting mistakes, I think asking me to be here would certainly qualify. So thanks for having me. And that's at one.
Perfect. No, we wanted you here. You know, Jake, I'm going to start with a non-Packers question, a question John just asked me before the break, because you're a writer. So you're the guy to ask this question. Two spaces after a period or one space after a period? Jacob Westendorf of SI.com.
Just one.
Okay, all right, because John and I, we're a little older, I think, than you are, Jacob, and we were taught two, and now we're trying to break that habit because it's a giveaway that we're old if we put two spaces after a period. So, okay.
Really? Okay, yeah, I've never heard two, so, I mean, Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention in class or something, but yeah, I think it's just one.
No, I think they just stopped teaching it that way, and we're old, and you're not,
well,
Jacob.
Did you ever learn on a typewriter, Jacob? Because that's the difference here. Rami and I learned how to type on a typewriter
have to make
and
us
not on a computer.
I did, but that's not what they were using. It was in, oddly enough, it was in a nursing home that I learned how to type on. And yeah, they had a typewriter that taught me how to do that.
There you go. All right. See, look at that. We just learned a little something about Jacob Westendorf. All right, now let's get into the Packers since you cover them for SI.com. Could you feel the Josh Jacobs situation in the air at OTAs this week? Was it looming over everything, that not only what Matt LaFleur said and his availability to the media, but just in everything that the Packers were doing? Could you tell that was something that was in the background the whole time, so to speak?
Yeah, I think when you get a situation like this, it's different when it's a player who either, you know, isn't going to make the roster or isn't that important or anything like that. I think I heard John say yesterday it was one of the most beloved players on the roster. And there's certainly some truth to that. Josh Jacobs is, revered in that locker room, kind of in my experience, which, I mean, I'm not his friend. I don't know him personally or anything like that, but he's always seemed like an upstanding, top-notch guy. So when you got the information that unfortunately came out a couple of days ago that this is an incident that has allegedly taken place, yeah, that's a big deal, and it's something that obviously should be taken very seriously. It's a situation that the Packers, I mean, they canceled media availability for the players, trying to not put them in a position to have to answer questions for somebody else. I mean, that kind of was just kind of a whole cloud hanging over what should be a relatively light and, you know, maybe easy isn't the right word, but this isn't, you know, two-a-days training camp practice from yesteryear. This is, you know, shorts and a helmet and just kind of getting stuff back. It's a taste of football is what it should be. But unfortunately, that's the situation. And this, I think, is something that's going to linger until we have a resolution to it. And really, honestly, even until after that, because at some point, assuming Jacobs is on the team at some point and made available, he's going to have to answer questions and stuff like that. So that's going to be something that has, you know, kind of a ripple effect throughout the rest of however long that time period ends up being.
Jacob, do you have an idea on the time period? Do you have an idea on when the NFL would be able to investigate this? Do they have to wait for it to play out with the DA? Do they need a decision from the Brown County DA? How is this going to play itself out that we can get through this strange cloud that the Packers and the fans and the beat and everybody are in right now?
Yeah, I'd have to look a little more closely into that to get like exact answers, but I do know Roger Goodell and that group, they can kind of do whatever they want to do, you know, and we've seen incidents in the past where some of this stuff has lingered. You know, Ezekiel Elliott had an alleged incident and it took them over a year to come down to the punishment, which was ultimately a 6-game suspension. I believe, if memory serves, that was the first one under this new policy where if Jacobs is found, or if the NFL deems that Jacobs has some wrongdoing here, a 6-game suspension is the minimum for a first-time offender under their domestic violence policy. Now, I'd have to see if the Zeke Elliott part that I just mentioned is true or not, but sometimes it can take a while. Sometimes it can take, you know, less time than that. I would imagine with the way the NFL wants to do things as far as their investigation goes, I would imagine they want a decision from Brown County as to whether, because that was the other part of the story from a couple of days ago, was no charges were filed at this time. Now, that doesn't mean they won't be filed. That could happen in the future. But is the NFL really going to give a suspension for a player that if Brown County ultimately decides they're not going to file charges against Jacobs, I suppose they could. I'm just not sure how that would look in, you know, the court of the NFL, if you will, in this case.
I guess my question is more along the lines of, would the NFL make a move like the commissioner's exempt list while this is going on to just take a break? Josh Jacobs take a break from the team take a break from Josh Jacobs until this is decided? Or is this a scenario where Josh Jacobs could be back practicing with the Packers as early as yesterday, and we don't know about it because we don't have, you know, the beat there to watch these practices, and he could be a part of the team while awaiting the potential determination of what results we're going to get here?
Yeah, they could put him on the list. I would tend to think if they're going to do that, it could be something that is for mandatory mini camp, because that stuff is open, or training camp if we get that far down the road. Because the reality is right now, from the NFL's perspective, there's not a lot. Like, there's always something going on, but there's not a lot going on. I could certainly see that the closer we get to camp and preseason games and stuff like that, you obviously don't want a player that's front-facing for an allegation as serious as the ones that Jacobs is facing to just kind of be out there and continuing to play. So if this spills into, you know, late July, or Jacobs probably wouldn't play in their preseason games anyways, but even those preseason matchups, that's something where, yeah, he could end up on that exemption list and, like you said, just kind of take a break from the whole thing, from both the team, the player, and the league.
Talking with Jacob Westendorf, covers the Packers for SI.com here on 9 to noon. And if they are without Josh Jacobs for any stretch of time because of this situation, do they have to look outside the building for some running back help? I saw Marshawn Lloyd was held out of practice yesterday for undisclosed reasons. Can they count on that guy and the rest of that depth chart at that position?
Yeah, I don't know that they can. You know, with Lloyd, that's something I think Matt LaFleur said it really well, is he's got to prove it. And proving that he's able to stay on the field. This is a guy who's played less than 40 snaps in his NFL career. It's not, you know, necessarily anything he's doing wrong or anything, just kind of been snake bitten through his first two seasons of his career. But the Packers also have to look at it from a realistic standpoint of, can you count on that guy to be, as of today, he would be their starting running back. You know, after that, it's Chris Brooks, who, when he's on the field, he's kind of been a sixth offensive lineman. The Packers have, you know, not really relied on him to be a primary ball carrier. Pierre Strong's a guy they've used a little. They've got some guys on, other guys on the practice squad and stuff that they brought in this offseason. But, I mean, you're a Super Bowl contending team. Can you do that with relative unknown at that position for an offense that, I will remind, still really wants to build everything around its run game and run the football, especially later in the season as things get going? They've kind of built their team to do those kinds of things. And Jacobs obviously was a big part of that. But if he's not going to be around, I could see them looking at, you know, June 1st is on Monday. That could lead to other players becoming available that may not have been otherwise. That could lead to, you know, this situation could lead to some trade conversation. I saw the name Braylon Allen floated, and I think that was just speculation, but it does make some sense to me because the Jets signed Breece Hall to a big contract. Allen is a, you know, a mid-round pick. Are they going to pay that much money to a mid-round pick to be their secondary running back, whereas the Packers could have him potentially be somebody who starts for them if Jacobs isn't able to play when the season starts? So I do think that they need to find some, they probably needed to find some help during the offseason as well. It was just, you know, with the limited amount of draft capital they had, they kind of had to take some calculated risks, and this happened to be one of them.
Jacob, the running back, especially with the news of Josh Jacobs, is the number one question mark right now for Green Bay. But aside from that, where do you sit with the Packers? What are your questions?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marks on them.
I think the biggest thing right now is still their offensive line, the group in front of them. I saw a tweet from Daniel Jeremiah saying there's these 12 spots you need to fill. And he had, you know, three offensive playmakers, three defensive playmakers, the quarterback, quality offensive linemen, so on and so forth. And he said you needed to have three quality offensive linemen. And I was like, right now, can you sit here and say the Packers have three quality offensive linemen? I don't know. I think that, you know, Zach Tom is obviously very good when he's healthy, and hopefully they're able to get him back when training camp starts and ultimately when the season begins. They were much, much better with him on the field as opposed to off it a season ago. And then after that, you can have some major questions about all four of the other guys. Jordan Morgan was a first-round pick. Is he good? I don't know. He's only played one game at left tackle in his career. Aaron Banks got a big contract, played better in the second half of the season, but was dinged up for most of the first half of the year last year and struggled even when he was healthy sometimes. Sean Ryans never played center for a full season. Anthony Belton, second-year player, struggled last year. So they can get contributions from those players, and there are players in that group that I just mentioned that can become quality players, but are they as of right now? And if they aren't, that is something that you will see derail the season very, very quickly, because really that's kind of the biggest culprit to Green Bay's second half collapse last year against Chicago in the playoffs, was they stopped blocking.
Is cornerback a close second in terms of your concerns or questions that you have about this football team and how things will shake out at that position?
Certainly. Just because, again, it's the same group that finished last season for the most part. They added a rookie. Most rookie cornerbacks tend to struggle. They added Benjamin St. Juice, who's more, you know, solid, if unspectacular than anything else, which maybe that's an upgrade over some of those guys. But, you know, Keyshawn Nixon, Kerrington Valentine, can you win a championship if that is your quartet with those two guys, Brandon Cisse and St. Juice, of course? Can you win it with those guys playing cornerback? I don't know. You know, last year, by the end of the season, when Parsons was not on the field, they struggled pretty tremendously. And they didn't take the ball away enough. And sometimes it wasn't for a lack of opportunity. You know, this is a group, a fair assessment of the group certainly is that a weakness in the secondary outside of Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams, which is a different position, but still in that secondary, is the lack of ball skills. Packers just did not take the ball away enough a season ago. And that's something that Nixon has struggled with. Valentine had a couple of dropped interceptions, and hopefully that's something that they can alleviate this year. But yeah, that is certainly, I think on defense, that's got to be at the top of your list of concerns.
Jacob, your thoughts on the division here. I seem to think that the Minnesota Vikings with Kyler Murray have an opportunity to be much more improved on offense from a year ago when they were competitive. The Lions and the Bears, obviously, you saw what they could do last few years. How do you think this division is going to play itself out?
I think all four of these teams, I think you made a really good point with Kyler Murray there, is I don't know if Kyler Murray is a top 12 quarterback in the NFL, but they had the, you know, bottom third of the NFL quarterback situation a season ago. So I think that group of four of this NFC North is all pretty well bunched up. And I think that there are questions for each team. Chicago, are they going to take the ball away a gazillion times again? Are they going to take a step forward and not have to win so many games late in the game like they did a season ago? Is Ben Johnson, what do they do year two? Stuff like that. Detroit, they're getting older. They're losing some of those players. Is Jared Goff still able to do things? We just talked about Green Bay's questions, and Minnesota's lost a lot of guys on defense as well. One of those four teams is going to get the answers to those questions that are good, and they're going to separate themselves. As of right now, I'm not quite sure who that team is going to be. But I think that, you know, if you're the Packers, that's a team you have to be. That team. This is a team that has not won a division title since 2021, and they want to talk about getting back to the Super Bowl. I think that's where it starts, is you have to have as many playoff games at home and such as you can, and the way you do that is by winning your division, and they've got to win games later in the season to be able to do that, because the last two Decembers, they've really faltered down the stretch, whereas the other teams, they've played their best football. So the answer whatever team finds the answers to the questions that ail them the most, I think, is the one that separates themselves, and I'm fascinated to see what team that is.
Were you surprised to hear Matt LaFleur say that Tucker Kraft might be ready by training camp? And along with Micah Parsons, how much does when those guys return factor into your eventual prediction for this Packers team and how many wins they can have and their chances of getting those home field games in the playoffs?
Yeah, a little surprised on Kraft. It was November 2nd, I think, when he got injured last year. So end of July, that would be, not a mathematician, but I think that's about 8 months removed from surgery. So we'll see how that works out for him. That is about the time frame, a little bit shorter than what Christian Watson had last year. Watson had surgery in January. His first game was at the end of October. So I guess it kind of lines up that way. But certainly getting both of those guys back, that's kind of the big, if you want the optimist view of Green Bay, is that they were 9-3, did not play that as great, I think, as a normal 9-3 team should be, and missed Tucker Kraft for a portion of those games. And that was before their best player in Parsons went down. So I think if they can get those guys back, there is certainly a conversation to be had about this being the most talented roster in the division. And it's just about them trying to fit all those pieces together and find ways to win. But yeah, getting them back, I mean, we're all kind of assuming, I think, and maybe, you know, maybe in foolishness, that Parsons is just going to be back for that Chicago game week 5, and he's only going to miss the minimum amount of games if he is, in fact, placed on the PUP list, which Matt LaFleur said he expects that for training camp. But to start the season, that part gets a little interesting, just because the Packers, since they've acquired Micah Parsons, have never won a game that he did not play in. Now, that's only 5 games, but still, that's, if you start the season, for example, 0-4, you're in a lot of trouble by the time you play Chicago at home. Now, I don't anticipate that happening, but that is something worth monitoring. And Kraft is the guy who every offense to some degree needs an easy button. You know, something that your team can draw up when they need a simple first down or something like that to just create easy offense for your team. And Tucker Kraft is certainly that, because you could throw him a 3-yard pass and it's a 13-yard pass because of his ability to make plays after the catch. So getting both of those guys back, that's a big deal. And when they come back, that's going to change a lot of things, because Parsons especially, he's a field tilter, and there just aren't that many guys in the NFL like that.
That is Jacob Westendorf. Check out his work covering the Packers at SI.com/Packers. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf. And our guest for the last few minutes on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. Jake, always appreciate the time. Great stuff as always, my man.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk again.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.